Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, you're very welcome to this edition of Voices from the Archives, the Irish Life and Lore series. I'm Maurice O'Keefe, and I'm back to bring you a new series of podcasts for 2024, which will be wide and varied in topic. And we start this week with cycling in Munster. Cycle races became very popular from the early part of the 20th century, and the cyclists used to cycle around grass and cinder tracks in stadiums. And I was fascinated to find out more about this, so I travelled to Croke to meet Ronald Sparling. He is the son of James Sparling, who was a champion cyclist back in those days.
But he was always into cycling, and he did a lot of cycle racing, and there were a big group of Palatines living around fairly close in Croke, and they had a kind of a club.
Back in the early days?
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
My father won an awful lot of races, grass track racing, and at that time the racing bikes had bamboo wheels.
Oh, no, that's interesting. Really?
Yeah. And they had a track on the farm in Croke, and several neighbours, farmers living nearby, which were Palatines as well, they used to cycle against each other, and then they cycled all over different parts of Ireland.
Yeah.
My father had, there's a big trophy, and I still have that below in my flat, and He won it back. He had to win it 3 years in succession. I'd say it was 1907 he won it first, 1908, and he won it outright in 1909. And there was somebody, he was tipped off before the race started.
In 1909, there was another
fella. They didn't want to part with the trophy because it was a very valuable trophy. And he was tipped off to watch out for such a fella that were trying to knock him off the bike.
My goodness.
But my father loved to tell this story.
Yeah.
Your man made his move on a bend in the track. But my father was ready for him, and he slowed or gave him the slip anyway. And my father won the race and won the trophy.
Oh, that's amazing. Where did that race take place?
Ballyporeen.
Really?
And my father would cycle to Tipperary. He'd get the train to Tipperary from Limerick. And he had an ordinary bike, and he carried the racing bike over his shoulder from Tipperary to Ballyporeen and cycle in the race.
The sport of cycle racing became even more popular in the middle of the 20th century, and a new stadium was built in Bantyre in North Cork and opened in 1952. This attracted many great cyclists from around the province of Munster. I visited Bantyre back in 2003 to meet the historian in the village, Con Tarrant.
I remember this stadium being erected here back in 1952, because the original stadium was east of the village, and in order to keep up with the modern area. It was important to build this new stadium. And the parish priest at the time was Father Murphy. This is in 1952, where we're now, this present stadium. And Father Murphy agreed there was two fields, two small fields, and the two fields, he gave the two fields for to build the stadium. And that's where we are now at the moment.
But there was a great tradition of athletics here going way back. You
sure,
know.
Sure.
Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, the original stadium was east of the village and was built in 1886.
Yes, so, yes, indeed. But was this centre track used for cycling as well as running?
Oh, it was, yeah. And some very famous cyclists cycled there. You had Frank O'Sullivan of Fermoy. You had Tom Lavin. And you had Drum from Castle Island. And there was quite a number of them now at that particular time. A local man, Mick Cahill, we mentioned him before, but Mick was a mighty cyclist. He came third. I can't remember the year to know, but he came third. And that was, I mean, to come third in Ross Halton, it took a bit of doing. You had to be physically fit to do it. But Mick came third. But the Ross Halton was a mighty event, of course. When it did come here, you can imagine having maybe 150 cyclists all cycling together. It often amazed me how they didn't kill each other because the wheels of the bikes would be running so close.
And at the sports meeting in Bantyre, there was a special race in those days, and many of the local lads fancied themselves to beat the professional cyclists, so they participated in a race against them.
There was one race, and it was always the last race in the evening of the sports. It was called the Divil Take the Hindmost. And I say,
why was it called that, Con?
Because I say, the tape was put down across the track, and they'd all take off, and the last fella over, you know, they have to do possibly about 20 rounds of the track, and the last fella over each event, or each circle, the last fella over that particular point, they'd have to drop out. They'd have to drop out.
And so it was elimination every time.
Elimination,
you went, yeah. You went around the last. So you kept going until the last one survived.
Exactly, yeah. Well, the last five, there was to fight it out between themselves then. But of course, at that time, there was often 30 or maybe 35 fellas in the one race, you know, because every fellow that had a bicycle, even fellas that hadn't racing bikes at all, they participated, you know, out of the crowd. Oh, I mean, that was a very big event. You know, fellas fancied themselves. I mean, they mightn't have the price of a bike, of the racing bike, but you can be sure they participated otherwise, mentally anyway. What did I remember, fellas, at that time, they was to, they'd actually wait for that particular event. And they were sure to take off on that anyway. But of course, they wouldn't have much of a chance again. The we'd call them the more or less professionals at the time.
And Con Tarrant recalls the big names in cycling in those days.
There was Frank Sullivan there in for my, I think, to the 39 Irish titles he won. Tom Lavin, he was a Cork City man, he was another great cyclist. And Drum from...
Where was Drum from?
He was from Castle Island. Mm-hmm. And he was a great favourite here. I think that, of course, there was five or six fellas that time, and they were all of nearly equal standing, like they were, you know, any fella could win. And it would be a big day, of course. We'd have the bands here. We'd participate ourselves with the pipe band. And lead the athletes around the track, and, you know, it was a big duo. The blood was up for that particular day.
In 1957, there was a new breed of cyclists who were coming on stream.
And the reason I got into cycle racing in 1957, because all the great three track men, Tommy Connell, Billy Griffin, the Breen brothers,
Charlie Mansfield, Milo O'Mara, Johnny McKilligut. They got old.
Mick Murphy from Carrigrohane in County Kerry was one of those. He got the nickname the Iron Man because of his ability to win so many stages in the Ross Dalton. I spoke to him in 2006 and he started by telling me that he started his career on grass track.
And the grass track riding, the father and mother of cycling in Kerry and athletics. They were the cross road culture. And now I'd go and I was winning. I'd win, and I have won 3 or 4 races. I was the best grass track rider in 1957 in Ireland.
And so were you getting prize money for
winning? Oh, yes, I was getting prizes.
So what kind of money would you get for
it? I'd be getting I got £20 prize in Tralee, Kennedy Outsport. That was a great, great meeting. I got a cutlery, a suit length, a pair of shoes, a jumper. You know, at the end of the day, you got to at least sell them 30 shillings.
One of the best clubs around at that time was in Castle Island in County Kerry, and that's the club that Mick Murphy joined.
They started a club in Castle Island, an athletic and cycling club, the best athletic and cycling club. And from then on, we were the strongest club in Kerry. In 1960, we went up to Loughrea in Galway, and we beat Clonbrew of Dublin for the best club in Ireland. I was in the Ross now, see. And I was in the Ross, and I wasn't going to be picked because my farm had lapsed. I wasn't winning. But they had the race in Tralee. And I remember I walked up on the farm until 1 o'clock in the day. And I cycled into Hardings, Cork, got a bit of pieces on my bike, headed out from Cork, I don't know, 100 miles. From Mallow to Cork first, and then from Cork into Tralee to the race. And I won the second day. I was in the Ross, we headed for Dublin. And I was so relaxed. They had no money. See? 3 times they came down and there was no car behind me. They had no money because the team was young. There was nobody to come up to me. 3 times I came down and there was no, and I didn't fit half the time. So what I was doing, like, it wasn't right. That's why I'm half a cripple now. The first day in the Ross was from Dublin to Wexford. About 90 miles, and me and the 20 miles, I split the field, 20 miles to go, and Hedden came up in a mighty sprint, and he beat the Dublin men in the sprint. He beat Steve Abbott, the greatest sprinter in Ireland. That was the first day. And the second day, there was an awful lot of action. The next thing I remember now that we were in Glenbowl Mountain, and Dublin had Tipperary taken out Dublin. And now Tipperary were demolished, and I attacked and I went clear. And I won in Glenbowl, the King of the Mountains. And the Kiley brother chased me into Carrigansuil. And I won the stage. That was now I was in the yellow jersey. That night, I was as relaxed as anything. Well, it was a savage day as riding, because I never left the front all day long. So now, the next day now, we were at Waterglass Hill. I rode into West Cork, and I chased for 45 miles, and I caught the bunch at about 2 miles from Clonkilty.
My God! Yeah.
See, but
yeah. So did you hold the bunch then?
I was still in yellow. Next day, now we're heading from Clonkilty to the stage were in the 130-mile mark. We came south and Going out to Gingara, I got clear. There was four riders gone up front, and they put the King of the Mountains, and I wanted the King of the Mountains. And I came up the Tunnel Road in a squally evening, and down a hidden road in my dawn break. It was, you know, the road, we call them glassy roads that time. When it rained, there was a lot of tar in them. And I crashed at 50 miles an hour. I hopped off the road.
How did that happen? Because of the conditions of the road?
The glassy road, see. Yeah. And Mangan came up, and he hit me across the face. He said, get on the bike. He gave me his bike. And what struck me later was how easy I caught the bunch up front.
After your fall?
My fall, how easy I got him. And we know the next thing I knew, I was hurt at all, so I was concussed. Next thing I remember was coming over the bridge to Kinmayer, and everybody was looking at me, I was covered in blood. And we came to the Mulls Gap now, the climb started. And I controlled the climb all the way up. And she was dead in Tyrone. His brother had played for Tyrone. He got away from the top when he beat us. And now I knew I was going to be attacked into the lead. Dublin would be going to go after the jersey. And I decided to attack it before Killarney. And I attacked it through Killarney. And the Dublin waves attacked me in waves. And then we were attacking a squally, wicked evening. All the waves, they never got an inch of me. And I finished in the same time. And so now we start in the morning, and we start in, and they held me on the bike. They stopped me in, they held me up, and they pushed me up. And I was so powerful, unbelievable. I didn't get a bit out of me. And I led through Castle Island, just went away from them. It was 3 minutes up going through Castle Island, and they cut me halfway up, three quarters up the mountain. And into I think it was Nina. And I finished fourth in Tanina. The next stage was into Castlebar in Mayo. And all day I was up front. But two riders went clear. Paddy Flanagan and some other one. And then they beat me. I was worried now. The next day was into Sligo, second last day. And we were going towards Castlereagh. And oh, at one stage, I'd 13 minutes up. I was 13 minutes up now, you know, the rest was mine. And I was 13 minutes up. And through going through Castlereagh, another squally evening. I was on my own. I got away from going for a stage win into Sligo. I was down.
You fell off the bike?
I was down again, hard.
How did that accident
happen? The water ran again. And the water, the glass road from the Tumor Star and rainy. And now, and we raced across the top and down. Russian roulette. We rode down the mountain. You know, Russian roulette. And
as dangerous as hell, you know.
We couldn't believe it, what we were doing, you see.
Yeah.
Desperation. And this guy, we heard him shout at us. He had a kind of a yellow, reddish jumper on him. And he was Tammy's. And he was roaring, defend the yellow mantle. And about 6 miles further on, I was 13 minutes up, now I was 7 minutes down or something again.
You were 7 minutes down because of the fall?
The fall. I wasn't first away. Tom Ryan went clear, up the Cuddlers, out to Sligo. He was going a long ways up, and I went off and left him. I went over the top on my own, and I headed for Dublin. 133 miles away. I got lonesome now, and I started talking to myself. And I looked up, and there was a sign, Dublin, 79 miles and was past there to go. And I was there. I was, no, that gave me confidence. What came up that Dominic now took prayer for the team prize? And now there was panic stations. And what came up that Steve Abbott was coming? And I said, I wasn't going to get caught. I went up and started attacking the three blokes with me. You know, jumping him. The sprint started and I was fourth in the sprint. No, only inches in it.
So Mick Murphy held on to his yellow jersey and he won the Ross. But it was a total anti-climax when the race finished.
And, I was champion. And we changed inside in because we changed, money was scarce. There's a boxing ring. And Dick Barry of Cork, we walked down through Dublin. Look, he said, what we've done, he said, and we're on our own. Oh, we were in the Castle Hotel.
After the race?
Yeah, that was a great hotel. You got great food there.
I'd say it was well deserved after that race. What was the race worth to you in those days?
Nothing.
We've come to the end of this week's story on cycling in Ireland in the early part of the 20th century. Next week's podcast, we're going to focus on a new collection that has recently been published on our website, the Heritage Collection for 223. This consists of some amazing, fascinating stories and covers a wide, broad range of topics, including Irish migration to England in the 50s and 60s.
In the Hens, under the ground, 12-hour shifts, one break at dinner time. There was no 10 o'clock break that time, or no 3 o'clock. Okay. So there was 1 half-hour for the dinner, and you had 7 days a week, 7 12-hour shifts, and every Friday the choir fella tell you, any man that don't come in Saturday or Sunday, don't come in Monday. And every Monday morning, there'd be 40 men at the top of the hole looking for work. So you and you, when you went down the hole, you had to shift the muck. It was an old saying there, it was the man of the muck.
And next week's podcast is an interview with Richard Burke on one of the islands off the west coast of Ireland.
When they'd be going over for the turf, the other island boats would be with him, they'd be going to convoy. But he was able to slide back along the Connemara shore with the northwest wind. The others would have to come out to tack and go back in again, you know, zigzag. But he was able to do that, Bell's boat. So the Connemara people were very anxious to get it as Bell was getting older because they knew that he didn't have a future for it. But he wouldn't give in that it would go to Connemara. He wanted, it was like him, it was like a farm animal, you know, that he had such respect for it.
And finally, in next week's podcast, we will visit Trinity College and meet the people who looked after the Book of Kells for many years.
Turn the page, I write out the Latin. It is more or less all written in one continuous line, words joined together and it's hard to figure them out. But eventually I got the knack of it, split the words and then write it out. Sometimes I put English over it. Tourists liked it sometimes. They liked to see what the page meant. And I got a kick out of it because I could read something that was written in Latin in the 9th century.
And was this a new opening up to tourism and to promoting
yes,
the college?
Absolutely.
And promoting the, yeah. I suppose, taking advantage of the fact that the Book of Kells was in your possession.
Yes, well, the first year I was there, the visitor numbers in 92 were 286,000. And the visitor centre had been built to accommodate 250,000 visitors. So even in year one, we actually broke the record. I mean, at the height, I think it was 2007, we had nearly 600,000 visitors.
That was incredible.
Which is incredible.
I'm Maurice O'Keefe, and I look forward to bringing you all those stories next week.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.